we're back. Is Lisa Barlow self-involved? Obviously.
Duh, that's why we love her.
That's why we love her. Is she a constant contradiction? Yes.
Yes.
Is she probably obsessed with this stuff? Because there's been like little hints of it, of people being like, well, now I don't have to take her calls, of her being really, really obsessed with perception, drama, everything associated with the filming of this show. Absolutely. Can a friendship with her be one-sided? 1,000%. All of that is true. But there's something to be said that I actually do agree with her about, that people come for her in a way that is lower the sucking dick for Utah Jazz tickets that they don't do for anybody else. And Whitney is continuing that. And I think there is something to be said for it, that she really does get attacked in a different way. I really do believe that. I think that's different from someone's like level of anger or whatever. Strategically, the way that sex is used, her marriage is used, Justin is used. Oh, I just said Justin. Just kidding. John is used.
Which Justin's not used at all. Like, no one talks about Justin. Talk about
Justin getting, because he's oiled up on TV. We don't need to.
Yeah. The painting.
There's a lot there.
It doesn't need to be said.
But like, we're talking about like marriage and fidelity and stuff. Whitney's the one who had an affair with Justin, which led to their marriage.
And
like,
no one's brought that up.
No. Yeah.
Like, people use that constantly. But I mean, on the show.
Yeah.
We're not on the show, unfortunately.
I mean.
But like, that is something that you would think would be so easy for them to talk about. Like, people come at Margaret on Housewives on Jersey for that all the time, that she slept with the plumber and now they're happily married. Like, no one brings that up to Whitney, and everyone goes so deep against Lisa. And I think it's because they are jealous that Lisa is like, you know, the main, the center snowflake, even though Angie had it this season. But
I do want to say, I mean, obviously Lisa's monologue about Meredith, that was like slut shamey.
Yeah, sex, garbage whore.
Garbage whore fucked half of New York. She can go fuck herself.
Wild.
One of the most poetic things that has ever.
But like that, like, catapulted her into fame.
And also, like, I guess sort of the same with this. She didn't know that that was going to be used, except people are now making, she didn't know she was being recorded. People are now obviously making the active choice to share this stuff on camera because they know it's going to be recorded. But I do think when it comes to like specific strategy of what I know I'm saying on camera, I understand that Lisa Barlow has a, like, party of one victim complex. I get it. I completely understand it. But also, I do think that there's a point to be made about the ways that the cast has come after her and attacked her that I do think is worse than what happened to them. Again, Prism is a joke.
It's not
a successful company.
To your marriage.
Right.
It is not detrimental to your livelihood, your well-being, your
mental
health.
We're not saying that Justin fucked a necklace.
No.
We're not saying that.
Or that, like, you accidentally posted a sex tape on the website. Like, it's all it was that a picture was being used twice and the product was similar to a cheap website. Like,
maybe it's a cheap product. Welcome to the world of housewives commerce. All of this stuff is terrible.
Own it. Lisa Rinna, own it.
Literally,
like,
own it.
Just needed to own that Prism was like a silly haha, and it has nothing to do with how low she ended up going. And I think we need to read that text message.
Which one?
That the jerking off text message.
Oh, okay. Because I literally spent so much time transcribing.
Yes. And Lisa's perfectly placed what the fucks after it are just perfect.
So I don't have all of that.
I'll
but
do that
I do
part.
Have,
you do okay. the text and then
so
I'll do that.
So this is
part.
What, and I love the preamble by Whitney. I wrote this text to Angie after I heard this rumor from a friend of mine. And I just feel like I chose this because I feel like this is the thing that I feel the worst about, and I want to clear the air about it. Oh, which I have a question about that.
Yep.
But this is the text. So I was at a party with Justin, and a woman approached us saying that if we ever wanted to bring in a third, she is our girl. Sidebar, the way that Lisa was like magnifying the text, I was like, just put on glasses. It's okay. Glasses
are
great.
It was actually making me dizzy.
In fact, Lisa and John can vouch for her, because she has made out with Lisa while jerking off John, which was followed immediately by,
what the fuck is that? What the fuck is that?
Perfectly executed. I do have to say that I watched the delivery of the text a couple times.
Yep.
And there is, to me, an obvious pickup where in the moment, we know that Whitney in the moment says, and I just feel like I chose this because we can see her saying it. But what we do not have video of is the line before, which is, I wrote this text to Angie after I heard this rumor from a friend of mine. Now, let's break that down for a second. Yep. To say I heard this rumor from a friend of mine, but then go into the text, which is her saying first person, I was at a party with Justin and a woman approached us. That does not make sense.
Nope.
With then saying, I heard this rumor from a friend of mine, unless I guess she's saying the rumor, I'm just attributing the making out while jerking off, John, is a rumor. But I also wonder, a part of me was like, did they add that in? Did they add in her adding that audio to make clear, like legally and stuff, that this is a rumor and alleged?
Interesting.
To help Lisa and John.
Right.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying I disagree with it, but I'm saying
definitely
it's sort of that one line. We don't have the video. The video is, the cameras are not on her when she says it. It felt like it was a little bit of an audio pickup.
It could totally be, now that you're saying that. And the only way I could see hearing it from a friend of mine and the direct personal experience of the text making sense is if she is calling the woman who gave the proposition her friend.
We need to meet that woman.
Yeah. Bring her on.
We need
because
to,
if that's the friend she heard it from, then the text makes sense.
But how are you friends with someone?
Yeah.
Who's saying this stuff?
And why are you sending it to Angie now?
Or whenever. We don't know when it was sent.
True. Crazy.
We do need to know when it was sent.
We need to know who the friend is and if it's that woman or someone else. And if it's a fucking content creator, I swear to God.
We're canceling BravoCon. We are canceling because we are not responsible enough.
We are not responsible.
As a collective.
No.
If we're going to, but there, no. But who was that woman?
Who was that woman? And
we need to find her.
We need to find her. And I need the response from Angie. I need it.
It's not, if Angie.
I need it.
If Angie.
I can't function.
At whatever point. Sent that text message to Heather about 1 foot out the door and a banana peel. We don't know who Angie is.
Nope.
We really don't.
Could you imagine if the banana peel of it all mindset was in Angie's mind as she was responding, what she could have possibly said about Lisa and John Barlow? Like, I can't even fathom it, because if she was in the right mindset and right, wrong, but she could really have done some damage there. And I'm surprised that Whitney didn't add that to the mix.
I do think there is a little bit of a conversation about how sometimes the cast and maybe greater Bravo community talks about Mary and, like, are we infantilizing her at points when we have talked about her? Are we giving her at points too much credit, or honestly not enough credit in, like, how she has expressed stuff this season, yada, yada. But I do think that same conversation can happen about Angie K, who am I a Stangy? Like, I mean, is one of my text threads with two friends who are also creators, like, what is it? I think it's called the Greek Mafia, and it's a picture of Angie. Like, are we? And I asked to join it because I was not, I don't think at that point, a Stangy, but I was converted because, especially this season, I was like, this woman is literally iconic.
Perfect for the show.
But also, we haven't seen really asshole Angie, and now we know she really
exists. She's in there.
I would feel a certain way if I was Heather for being, I would argue, you know, arguably correctly, rightly dragged to hell over shit that Heather has said that I think has, like, crossed the line and been too much and too mean. But if I was Heather and I was like, nobody's coming for Angie and she said some shit to me about other people, I might be feeling a little way.
I might be feeling a little way too. And actually, now that we're putting Angie and Mary back in the ring here, that is another very subtle moment no one's talked about yet, is when Angie post circle jerk is standing up yelling at Lisa and Lisa's yelling at Angie. Mary immediately already comes back to Angie's defense and says, why are you going after her like that? After they just made up. Like, the loyalty is so deep there. And I feel like those two can have a very strong alliance.
I hope that their friendship continues. I am a little bit nervous because we saw how Meredith and Mary fell out, and this is just going to be so much more devastating.
Yeah.
Because I never really cared about Meredith and Mary. I always felt like it was kind of off, but this is real.
This is real. And perhaps the Meredith and Mary of it all was just more surface level and like for convenience.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't feel like that.
I wonder how Meredith and Mary are going to come out of the reunion.
If I had to guess, it would be like pretty nonchalantly. I feel like they're both just like fine with who the other person is, but they're just not as close anymore.
I mean, I think because they're falling apart. Honestly, didn't make sense to me. That felt like it was a little bit of a lost in translation.
Definitely.
When everybody's like yelling and Mary's saying like essentially people need to calm down or else you can leave my house. And then Meredith takes that as like a personal attack. She's throwing her out of the house. And then it ended with her throwing out. I felt like it was a little game of telephone.
It IRL. I feel like there's a piece of that puzzle definitely missing because for it to feel, I know Meredith and we love her for it, is an exaggerator.
Mm.
And made it this like whole to do that she wanted Mary to come to her bat mitzvah and all this, and she did, and it was so much better and so much nicer that she came, and the kids were like, oh my gosh, thank God Mary's here. Like, there, it feels like something bigger happened that we just like didn't hear about.
Yeah, and that the rupture was greater for that. Yeah. There was real damage felt.
Definitely.
By both of them. Which that's much is like nice. That's
yeah.
Like, I mean, like that means that they really cared for each other and both of them are hurt by this, which to me means I think that they can repair it. I don't understand why they couldn't.
I do too. And now I'm just laughing because I'm picturing Meredith in this whole dinner table of it all, just sitting there until the end. And the camera pans to her and she just screams on the top of her lungs, this is too much. And that was like her only contribution to the conversation.
She wasn't wrong.
She was correct.
She was correct. It was too much. And I thank God that Lisa has Meredith because.
And I like their friendship.
And we can never go back.
No.
We can never go back. It's too much.
Yep. We need them to stay.
We need them to stay together. Yep. And I do think that Meredith sees this as Lisa does, which is like, you cannot come for my family. It's unacceptable. Stop.
Family.
Like, and you can't do it.
I think that Heather, I mean, that, oh my God, I'm getting
it's
all mixed
much.
Up.
It's too much.
I think that Meredith and Lisa have both made this agreement, whether verbal mm-hmm. or mentally, that they are not going to go any deeper with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Bad deeper. Mm-hmm. Because in the extended version, we get Lisa's text about what she said about Meredith, which was not mean at all. It was basically Lisa saying that Meredith weaponizes information that she seeks out. And even Angie in her confessional is like, are we to believe that's the meanest thing Lisa said about Meredith? But Lisa, unlike Whitney, was like, I'm just going to use this as an easy opportunity
mm-hmm.
to, you know, smooth a little something out and move on from this storyline of Meredith weaponizing, whereas Whitney was like, I'm going to take this as an opportunity to make a storyline.
Yeah, I think when you go on a long monologue about just naming the boroughs that Meredith has entirely fucked in New York, I think you get a little bit of a pass. It's different because I think that Lisa in that moment is like, I've said too much. I don't need to add.
Yep.
Versus Brittany, who's like, I'm an angel. I haven't said anything. I've just been like, I think I'm going to have a different person over to tea. And that's the worst thing that I've said because I am
great. A sweet Mormon girl.
Yeah, I'm an innocent dove in all of this mess.
But like, I know this didn't happen in the finale, but Brittany's sweet, innocent dove mindset is so pure and funny to me, to the point where like, I understand where the conversation went later after they were ATVing and went to the lunch and Brittany came with another announcement
mm-hmm.
that her and Jared have been intimate. And that was like her big reveal. And Mary, again, perfectly responded with like an okay. And then, of course, she went deeper into how much that means family-wise and her reputation, all of that. So it did make sense. But the delivery that Britney gives the smallest things to be the biggest announcements of her life is just so pure, and we need her to keep that energy.
I am already embarrassed for her by how she's going to behave at the reunion, because I know she's not going to get it.
Nope, she's not going to get it. And I can't wait to watch Andy watch her. Like, I think he's going to be like, oh, okay, anyway.
I think Andy is probably going to be a little embarrassed.
Yeah. Like, I think he's going to try to cut her off a little bit.
She's embarrassing.
Yeah. To herself and just in general to everyone. The reunion's going to be good, because then they do come for Meredith's marriage in the trailer. Mm-hmm. They say that
he had a girlfriend.
He has a girlfriend.
Seth's girlfriend,
yeah.
In Ohio.
Yeah.
Which, good for him. Yeah, I mean, not to be a dick, but like. Yeah,
but, and it's like,
let's get
maybe
into
Meredith has a boyfriend. Like, yeah, they seem fine with whatever situation they have set up for themselves.
They've made peace with whatever
they are.
Dynamic.
Yeah.
Because they were really hurtling toward a divorce, which.
For sure.
Maybe.
And perhaps.
Maybe we'll circle back. I don't know. I don't
maybe
know
we'll
what's
circle
going
back.
I don't know what's going on.
Perhaps it's now just more of a business understanding or a family dynamic.
They've been married for a bunch of years.
They're working it out. Like, yeah. It was their first time on TV. Like,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, let them be what they're going to be. And I'm just curious who brings that up.
Yeah, I also think you made a point in a la text that I think is important, which is something I think a couple of us were bewildered by, which is the whole setup for the trailer was like, shit is going to happen during the finale. We see Bronwyn crying with producers.
Yes.
And then we didn't get some of that during the actual finale. I honestly was confused when I realized it was like there were like 10 minutes left of the episode. I was like, oh, baby, we're just getting started. Like, you cannot.
It could have been 3 hours.
Why are you stopping at 60 minutes? This is at least 75.
Yep.
It felt like we were hurtling toward the end of the episode in a way where I was like, no, there's still stuff here. Why aren't we getting more of that behind the scenes? Do you think it's because they just wanted to go straight into the reunion? Like, what was the reasoning there?
What was the reason?
Yeah, for real. What was the reason? Yeah.
But like, I wonder if, I feel like this has happened in the past in a reunion where Andy does a moment where it's like, and now we're all going to watch what wasn't shown and react to it. I hope that there's something like that, because there does feel like a piece missing. And what surprises me about how this ended was, I guess there was just so much content that the finale needed to end at that dinner table. Mm-hmm. But the typical Housewives episode equation is that the trip ends in the second to last episode, and then they go home and they start their lives back up, and they all come together for a finale party, someone's hair care launch, someone's birthday, and they address what happened on the trip, and then they either all cheers to each other or someone storms out and they do the little text-based descriptors of what happens to everyone after filming stops. So I feel like we're missing a big piece of whatever the fallout is from that dinner, and how they all went back to the house that night, and what happened after Lisa ripped off her mic, and when they all came back to Salt Lake, what happened and who had lunch with who. Like, I feel like there's a lot we still need.
But I think that they're following the trend, certainly from last season,
yep,
of like, we can end here.
Yeah.
And leave the audience wanting more,
yeah,
in a way that is genuinely real.
Yeah.
I want more. And the episode began with like Heather looking slightly disoriented in bed the morning after, where producers are like, how can you guys come back from this? So we did get some of that, which is just like dangling catnip for us of what the fuck is going to happen,
yep,
in the minutes to come. And what I am appreciative of is pre-Monica finale last year, someone who was like pissed at Monica, I honestly forget, or like maybe they were formerly a member of the Shaw Squad. I genuinely forget who it was, but they said a couple days before it got out that there was something having to do with like, I forget if the name Reality Von Teese was involved or if it was just like Monica was behind some sort of Instagram account.
Yeah.
So if you were unfortunately like perpetually online as a Bravo viewer, you may have heard a little bit of what the finale was going to be about. And it didn't come from the cast, because these women are fucking professionals.
Yep.
Nobody leaked anything.
Nope.
But what I was appreciative about this time was like, I had no idea what was going to happen during the finale.
No clue.
I was talking to somebody who had like watched it earlier in the day and I had been seeing a screener. And I was like, don't tell me anything. I don't want to know.
I
never want to know scoop. Yep. I never want to be spoiled. I want to experience it when it airs or when I get like
or
a screen or whatever.
Experience it, right. Yes.
I want that to be real. I want it to be pure. I want it to be holy. And it was a holy night.
It was. And no one does a flashback 24 hours earlier screen like Salt
12
Lake.
Hours. 12 hours later.
All of them.
Yeah.
Like the last finale, this one.
Yeah.
All of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
How they go back into what happened earlier in the day. Like, it's just, I can't, like how we started this episode, I can't believe they did it again.
Last year, save more money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America. Clearly, a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers. But it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to spend your money. There's streaming apps, delivery fees, tips on self-checkout machines. The list goes on and on. Good thing there's Acorns. Acorns hopes to grow your money into more of your money. Especially helpful for me because living in New York City, I swear you walk outside and somehow you've spent $100 before walking a single solitary block. In New York City, of course, we always say everything is at your fingertips. But with all of these delivery services, especially if I'm recording in the middle of a Peacock binge, shout out the Traders, those delivery fees really, truly add up. Acorns can help you fight back. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. I spend a lot of time on the pod talking about emotional intelligence. Financial intelligence is equally important. Head to acorns.com/andyscrolls or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/andyscrolls. Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, this season of Real Housewives of New York, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. For me, it's those couple days before my period when I just don't feel like myself. And there's also perimenopause and menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is we don't have to suffer through anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hashtag spiritually mid-20s plus. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, menopause symptoms like hot flashes, night sweats, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com.
I cannot believe that they did it again. I couldn't be more excited for the reunion.
And I feel like proud.
I am so proud of them. I'm proud of us. I just think that like we deserve this. This is excellent, Housewives.
Excellent. This is, excellent. This is we deserve so it. Good. We had a drought.
Oh God. And New York, like it, there's just can I just sidebar?
Of course. Please.
I did dangle a little bit of a carrot here in saying that we are both Kyle apologists.
Oh yeah. Let's diamond it.
How do we feel about Kyle right now and Kyle v. Dorit? I know it's a sensitive topic.
I will ride for Kyle, but I see the genuine anger in Dorit, and I think I forget who said it in the last episode, but they were spot on that Kyle has many best friends. Dorit happened to be a good friend in that mix. But Dorit sees Kyle as her best friend, which is why it hit her so much harder that it bursted this anger through her. And Kyle is like, dude, relax, because she doesn't take their friendship as seriously. So I think, Kyle, love you. She needs to understand how serious of a friend she was in Dorit's eyes, and give her a little bit of that and just be like, maybe I did hurt your feelings. Like she needs to own it a little bit. But Dorit, I mean, I love Spiral Dorit. The cigs, the yelling, the outfits, just her energy is pure entertainment. It's hilarious.
That PK text was tough.
And it's going to come out next week because Garcelle, someone says, like, can you read it in front of everyone?
Mm.
And I love Garcelle.
Garcelle's doing great work.
Great work.
Sutton's doing great work.
Yeah, but I'm a little frustrated with Sutton, because I think what Dorit said is correct, that she comes for everyone when they are at their lowest. And that's not fair.
It's not, but also it's tough.
Stir it up.
Like, as
stir
a viewer, I'm like, keep doing it, Sutton. Yeah. Keep doing it. I appreciate
it. But my current
you.
MVP is comeback queen Erica. I think she's been amazing this season. Mm-hmm. And I could watch an entire show about her and the celebrity interior designer redoing her house.
Martin Lawrence Bullard, which I was one of three people who watched Million Dollar Decorators. And I was like, yes, Martin's back. Yeah. As you can see, or at least I saw, I think relatively recently, I think it was on Netflix. I forget.
Who, I'm going to have to dial that
but
up.
But I'm sure Peacock has it too.
For sure.
Honestly. But he is delightful television.
And the combo of them is very fun and fresh and good, and brings the fun of Erica, which I really like.
We need to bring back Martin in something.
Yeah.
He's so much fun.
Like, we have a ton of great real estate reality right now. Mm-hmm. We need to bring back the decoration of it all, yes. The interior of the real estate. Like, we need like a what not to wear for houses.
Yeah, we do.
We like that feels like a missed market, that we're designing houses and we're selling houses, but we're not decorating them.
And also a lot of his style was very much like mid-aughts.
Yeah.
So I would be curious, I guess we'll see it with Erica's house. I would be curious to see how that has grown and developed, because when Million Dollar Decorators came out, it was a very specific moment in time. It was like the Rachel Zoe of it all.
For sure.
We've
Jonathan Adler, all of that,
right?
Like, energy. Yeah.
I mean, my new coffee
cups. But I still love Jonathan Adler. Yeah.
My new coffee cups. Delightful.
The best.
So much fun.
It's so much fun. I have the little dishes, the zebra, the leopard. I don't have the pill.
You know
what?
But
I do love it. I love the glitter canister, the weed canister, all that. Hilarious.
The New Jersey and New York housewives love to bring a big Jonathan Adler acrylic or whatever the fuck pill to someone as a little gift. And I think they're funny.
I think they're hilarious.
I genuinely do think that it's like a fun little creative thing to have in a person's home.
And I hope we get some of that kind of fun decoration in Erica's home, because I feel like she brings that energy. And I feel like Bravo does a good job of like some of those like longer behind the scenes YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. I would love like an Arc Digest inspired YouTube video of Erica doing her home tour when we're done.
Yeah, that's hopefully not referencing how great a person she is for not taking furniture with her to her new house when, like, that furniture was purchased
that was
with orphan funds. So, like, maybe it's not yours.
Hilarious confessional. She's speaking it and realizing it in her head as she's saying it that, like, yeah, it's a good thing you didn't take that stuff.
Yeah.
She's like, the ex-wife did it. I should have done that. And she's like, well, maybe I shouldn't have. And you're like experiencing her realizing she shouldn't have said that.
I don't know how much of her was experiencing that why she shouldn't have said it. I think sometimes it's like, Erica, are we still there? Do we know yet that Tom is guilty? Because the court of law said he is. So
what did you think of the Chuck E. Cheese party? Speaking of the divorce of it all.
So I guess there's like some sort of feeling that maybe that was SponCon.
Oh,
like Becky, but I don't think that at all. I think it was just like,
I actually think it felt pretty genuine that they were like, this is funny, let's wear sneakers and go to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, and I thought it was wonderful.
I thought it was great. Like, and I feel like
Charles Cheese, yeah, I'm here for it.
Yeah,
I'm here for it.
Beyond, I feel like that was a genuine, like, they live in this rich bubble of Beverly Hills and they were like, what's like a funny, shitty pizza party?
Mm.
And immediately thought of Chuck E. Cheese and rolled with it. Like, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And that they took roadies there. Like, the whole thing was great. And Erica's like, should I wear flats? Like, just the whole thing was perfect.
And I
like that quad of them four.
So do I.
Good energy there.
Really good. So it was Kyle, Erica, Garcelle, and Sutton. I really
in denim
like
and
it.
Sneakers.
I really enjoyed it.
I really like that energy they bring to the table, especially how they can speak to each other, obviously, which we saw in Garcelle addressing Kyle to be whatever she wants to be at Chuck E. Cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that they have made it through a lot of silliness that they now have a mutual respect for one another and can actually rise up together. And I mean, on Beverly Hills, the four of them mostly, but also with Dorit, like, they're all single, living their lives now,
crazy.
Like navigating that. And it's just crazy from where we started on Beverly Hills, being like heavy on the wife of it all.
I wonder if we'll ever get into like honest dating stuff on BH.
I would love that.
I would love it. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Because I guess, I mean, they are in such a different bracket of like fame adjacent that it just does feel like something they need to keep a little bit more private, unfortunately for us.
And maybe not even the fame, maybe the fame, but also the fame, but also just the money.
The money. Yeah.
The money is crazy.
And they just have access to a different tax bracket of daters that I just don't think will go on reality TV.
So I think this season is a little bit of a reckoning for Kyle.
Yeah.
How do we feel like it's, but do we, it might be sad, but do we think it's deserved?
I go so back and forth. Like, I don't feel like she has given us everything in this circumstance of Mo, but she has given us her all emotionally. And I feel like she shouldn't be getting dragged through the mud like this for not sharing when she has shared like a significant amount, I think.
Oh, I feel like we need to drag her harder. And she's in my top five. I love her.
Oh my God.
No, I love her. I celebrate her. I love her voice.
But maybe
Shepherds.
She genuinely doesn't know.
I think her response, Sutton was such a dick for bringing up the affair.
I hated that.
I loved it. I was like, someone needs to say it, because also Kyle going completely wild in that moment.
Yeah.
And also I think trying to remember what she said on camera and what it could have meant. I think it was manipulative of Kyle to dangle a carrot during the reunion and then be like, takesies, backsies. Like,
right.
I never
it
said
wasn't
anything.
Just the Instagram DM that she was referencing.
I don't think. Well, then this is the whole thing with Bronwyn on the fucking yacht of like, you're saying he cheated on you.
Yeah.
Maybe drop in there that he maybe wasn't fucking, or maybe he was and you've changed your mind about what it is that you want to say. But like, you know how your words are going to be received. So either be more careful with them or be prepared to say maybe a little bit of it's like, I'm acknowledging that what happened isn't necessarily identical to how I summarized it.
Yep.
And I do owe people a little bit of clarity.
I guess in that circumstance, in the Mo of it all, she does owe people more clarity. In the Morgan, the other Mo of it all, the Morgan Wade of it all, that is where I think she doesn't owe people any more information because she genuinely just doesn't know. I think people are kind of like wanting her to come out so bad. And she's just like, I'm figuring it out.
Yeah. But also she did not apply any grace to Denise or any other moment, not necessarily directly correlated with like a similar, that exact situation.
Denise Brandy.
But when she has done press interviews saying over and over again with a certain amount of ego or elitism or whatever, like, well, we signed up for reality TV. So if you're not willing to talk about it, she's pulling out every fucking chip that she has to be like, well, I don't need to do this because of other stuff that I've said. But you're still on reality TV. We cannot just constantly, which I do say, but listen, has she shared a lot about, or has stuff come out while she's been on TV about her incredibly toxic relationships with her sisters and maybe a little bit of a .. of like what's going on with their mom, with Big Kathy?
100%.
But does that mean that you get that and you never have to share anything ever again? No.
No. And I...
It means that's why you've been here for 14 seasons.
And that's why everyone's still rooting for you, but wants more.
Well, a lot of people aren't.
A lot of people aren't, unfortunately.
And I get it. But I get it.
I get it too, because I still not have forgiven that we learned more about the divorce on Buying Beverly Hills than we did on Housewives. That was a bummer.
Unconscionable.
Fine for me because I watched both, but not fine for those who were not willing to dive into the Netflix real estate realm of reality. And I just think I think Kyle really went through it on the Mo loss of it all because it was her whole image and her brand and her life and everything was that family. And now she's spiraling. And I think it's a tough spot to be in. And Dorit going after her, I guess, is warranted. But also Kyle isn't doing a very good job at defending herself.
Yeah, and Kyle is more manipulative than has often been discussed, or it's been like kind of poo-pooed because she's had more leverage or power in those dynamics. And now it finally feels like, this is a little bit of a leveling here or a moment in which she cannot just kind of assert her power and get everything back. Like, she doesn't have the Fox Force anymore. This is the result of that.
I was going to say, because she has been around the block for so long on this show and gone through so many evolutions that she's come out on top from. She won against Lucy Apple Juicy. She's won against a lot of big ones. And this one, she's not winning. And I think it's probably starting to break her down a little bit.
Yeah, and I just wonder, I guess we'll see in the next episode. I just wonder, the walking out, the being hysterical, is it going to quiet any conversation around criticism of her in her just like group friends, quote unquote, friend circle? Is it going to do the thing that has always been successful previously of her being like, it's enough, I'm leaving, you're being mean? Or are people going to be like, okay, sorry you're crying, but like circling
off
back.
You go.
Well, no, but also circling back to what we just said, like, because I don't know how much of the cast is really thinking about like the Denise dynamic while they're filming, or if they're thinking about it months after, or any other example they can pull from of like, I wasn't afforded the grace that Kyle just intrinsically believes she deserves.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And I need to circle back on the preview for next week, because I'm curious who asks Kyle to read that text in front of Doreen and everyone.
Remember.
Because I
feel
like...
It would be Sutton, I don't think.
I don't think it's Sutton, but part of me thinks it's Garcelle.
God bless her.
And I'm like, snaps for Garcelle. Yeah. She always knows how to do that. But like, that may now betray Kyle's trust in the Garcelle friendship, which I was actually enjoying.
Yeah, I do like them as friends.
They seem to have a mutual respect for each other that's really nice. And that may strain that.
So what do you think is going to happen endgame with Dorit, PK, and Kyle and Mo?
What do I think or what do I hope?
Both.
Yeah. I would love Kyle and Mo to get back together. I just feel like it's not, the storybook is not complete there. And like, I saw the pictures of them with the families over Christmas in Aspen and they're together. And like, I feel like it was a separation that they probably maybe needed to go through without all of this like hullabaloo with it, and they would have probably worked it out. So that would be a hope. I don't know if they will. I think they still will have a lot to figure out in terms of like, I mean, that divorce I would assume will take forever if they ever even try to do it, because they haven't even filed. So I don't know what's going to happen there. I think Dorit and PK are done, and that's going to get dirty.
Crazy how quickly it happened.
There is another piece I feel like we're missing. Because I'm like, and maybe Dorit's missing it too, but like, how did they go from the texting every day being so cordial to hating each other and yelling at each other in therapy? Like, is it because cameras picked back up and they want, PK was like, we need to bring the drama?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But what is it that switched that, flipped that switch?
Well, I think there's a dollar sign somewhere floating in there.
There's got to be.
I think that had the stress of their debt and everything else. And that
those
it needs
poor children.
That needs to come out. It just needs to, because it's been buried for so long.
So
but that's
long.
Not helping anybody in any way. Not IRL.
Nope.
Not with them, I assume, in communicating with each other. Certainly not on the show. Like, this is the thing. When people are protected, it's there's an expiration. There's always an expiration date.
How about Kyle bringing up the picture of Dorit kissing Mo on the shoulder as like a defense?
So I missed that the first time, and then I was like, what happened? Because how is that on Dorit that the Bravo community made conspiracy theories about the fact that the night she was or the day after she was robbed at gunpoint, the fact that she went in for a group hug and sort of accidentally or in just like a moment that I don't think meant a lot, unless you're a Dorit Mo conspiracy theorist, that she kissed his arm or
his
shoulder
arm,
or whatever.
When literally PK's arm was also right there. Like, it was just a group hug mess of it all. I think she was bringing that up to say, like, Dorit never came out and denied anything.
She had just, this is why Kyle deserves to be dragged to hell. Yeah. She had just been
robbed
at gunpoint. You're not the victim of Dorit's robbery, because viewers either have eyes or are assholes or some combination of the two, and thought it was a weird... It was a little weird.
I mean, and then there was like a lot of those conspiracy theorists then did find like a lot of other footage and like pictures of like Dorit and Mo always being next to each other and all that. Like,
they weren't fucking.
Fine. And like, maybe they were. No. Not
that.
Me becoming one of them. No.
No, I definitely don't believe that. I definitely don't believe that. But obviously, Kyle is showing a little bit of herself in terms of like jealousy or frustration about how Mauricio was viewed, and absolutely that's the right description, insecurity. But like, that's not on Dorit.
No.
The thing that Kyle doesn't understand is like, when people are coming for her, it's not always on her friends to just line up in front of her and take the firing squad. That's like, because Kyle won't do that for them.
No.
As much as she calls herself a girl's girl, it's never expected of Kyle in the ways that she expects it of her friends.
Yeah.
And that sucks. And also, the woman was robbed at gunpoint.
Yeah.
She was robbed at gunpoint. And you're like, I'm the person who should be offended? That's a nuts.
And I can't help but wonder that, like, Kyle feels that everyone should line up and take and be the firing squad for her because of how she was raised with so much protection and just a different outlook on life coming into a famous, wealthy family, only having people protect everyone around her. Like, maybe she doesn't know any different. Even in the early years of Beverly Hills, like, they all kind of grew up in that same vibe where like, you're just gonna blindly go in front of your friend and support them because like, we can't have it in the press, and then when it blows up, it blows up. So I don't know if she's just like not used to being around all these other ladies who didn't have a similar experience with a famous family, and they are like, no, like, when you do something wrong, it needs to be addressed and we need to fight. Like, I'm not just gonna blindly back you. And that's maybe Dorit finally realized that.
I think that's being, apologies, but like, a little too generous of how fame worked with Big Kathy and the kids.
Yeah.
I think Big Kathy really like fucked up those kids.
For
meaning,
sure.
Meaning her mom, Big Kathy, whose kids are Kyle, Kathy, and Kim. I think she really did some wild shit that fucked those kids up.
Yeah.
And I also think that Kyle, and I understand it, is like, you guys haven't experienced what I have doing this show.
Yes.
And I do deserve a certain amount of power that you do not, because you're not an OG. You haven't carried it like I have.
You didn't
have a season one limo moment. But also they've dealt with other stuff, like what has been said about Erica, a lot of it deserved, but like what's been said, she's dealt with shit that Kyle hasn't. So yeah. It's like,
and Erica could have ran away.
Yeah.
And she didn't.
Well, she couldn't. She couldn't afford to run away.
That's probably true.
She would have been fucked.
That's probably
true. If she left
the
show.
Yeah. She would have been back.
She just wanted to be an easier ride for her.
Yeah. But they've all gone. And I mean, even in a different angle, like Garcelle being open about everything that happened with Oliver.
Mm.
Like they were doing that dinner at the beach house and she talked about Oliver in a dark place showing up at her house and her not letting him in. Like they've all gone through traumatic shit that like I guess Kyle does need to like wake up to.
Yeah. But I don't think she ever, I don't know that she will.
Guess we'll find out.
I guess we will find out. The reunion is going to be really, I think, really interesting for Beverly Hills, but I also don't know how Dorit is going to continue to play this, because at this point she knows that there's a big part of the audience that's like, yes, go Dorit.
Yeah.
Keep it going. So at what point does it become really inauthentic?
When I was just going
to
say that.
I need to continue this because it's my job now.
Where does it become theatrical and not a genuine anger that she's displaying currently? Mm. Where does it become like she's playing a part?
Because the whole argument is that Kyle isn't supporting me, but what if Dorit supporting herself financially involves her just rallying that as much as possible? And then what happens to Dorit, God forbid, if she and Kyle make up?
Yeah. Where's she has to pick someone else, Sutton.
Well, is she even going to get the opportunity to? Or will the show be like, okay, you're done now, bye-bye?
Yeah.
She was on the cusp last season. We didn't know that she would come back. I didn't want her to come back.
I feel like she came back because she got divorced.
Oh, yeah. I think she came back all guns blazing because she also is like, I am really on my own now. Like,
yeah.
I don't have PK, and she had a story. And she, I do think a lot of what she's saying is honest, how she feels.
100%.
I also think she's like dialing it up. And God bless. Someone needs to
dial it up. And she is dialing it up in the way where she is. I kind of love it that she's just going to each of them individually and having these little chats in a furniture store, in the backyard, all that stuff, and just like going in. And I guess we'll see how long that, like that anger lasts where people can be like, hell yeah, Dorit, like get him. Like the Mary, like get her, Meredith.
Yes.
Like, there's
oh
like,
my God.
Iconic.
Iconic.
That was a glimpse of their friendship.
Yeah.
They
were, maybe they'll be able to heal over both hating Britney.
I love that.
I would love that for them.
Yeah.
Full circle.
So I feel like everyone's in their like get her Dorit mindset. And like people have already forgotten that like they hated Dorit 5 minutes ago and were like, this girl is nothing to the show. So once the get her Dorit simmers down, where are we at?
And what happens if and when Kyle and or Dorit, beautifully phrased, if one of Kyle and Dorit say to Erica, you need to make a choice.
Mm, that'll be good TV.
That'll be great TV.
Because we know Sutton's choosing Kyle. That's obvious.
Even though Kyle's like, that's not enough of a choice.
Yeah.
Like, you need to, I think you're picking me, but you might be doing that because of Dorit. And also, why are you throwing me under the bus?
I also feel like if presented to her, Garcelle would pick Kyle as well because she just can't stand Dorit.
Yeah, although Garcelle, the stuff with, I think Garcelle like wants to.
Yeah.
Is intrigued at points by Dorit.
I completely agree. Especially because she sees how everyone else still isn't as annoyed with Dorit as she used to be. Like, I think maybe now that she's getting to know Dorit and just like, once you know she blabs, like you just deal with it and you move on from it. That used to like really irk her. And now she's like, okay, maybe I'm a little intrigued by why she always has so much to say.
And we have Bose, who is a perfect natural fit in this dynamic.
perfect.
Incredible. We're talking about fibroids. We're talking about how she views herself in relationships with this person she's been dating for several months.
Who's
and
how so cute.
So cute. And how he's stepped up and her being a single mom.
Yep.
And unfortunately, we know in real life, very tragically lost her house.
Yep.
And she's just been a really great addition. And I do love the way that she's able to very quickly humble Kyle, because Kyle's used to making her argument and everybody being quiet. And Bose is like, I have a little issue with some of that.
Yeah. And that was shown when Kyle visited her. After the surgery, that was a good conversation. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think Bose was the one who said to Kyle, you need to realize that Dorit considers you her best friend, even you have other friends.
I forget. I honestly forget.
Yeah, that was a good scene. So I feel
like Bose.
Yeah,
I
love her.
I really
do. A lot of fantastic newbies across the board in this past year of Housewives.
Yeah, it's we've had a good we've had a good year, a good run. I really, you know, I don't know what to say. We began with New York, branding with New York. I don't know. I don't know.
Where will that go?
I don't know what to say about it.
We'll see how that finale goes, because that's another one where they're ending on the trip. They're not coming back.
Yeah. Thank God for that, though. I don't need a second episode.
I don't either. I actually think they could have ended after this episode, but like,
I don't,
like, what could be worse? I don't know.
I'm
so confused.
I don't care so much. I strongly do not care about Uba v. Bryn so much.
It's so inauthentic, too.
Well, I mean, story of Bryn's life, honestly.
Yeah, bummer.
She's like,
she had
one of
so
most...
much potential season one of her.
Did she, though?
At least to be like a very fun comic relief. And now it's like, well, that nothing you say is funny.
It's so manipulative.
It's mean.
It's mean. It's manipulative. She's
make them play the Salt Lake game. The
oh
mean
my God.
Text.
Can you imagine? It would be because every time they'd be like, oh, I just wrote this 5 minutes ago to like, but I don't actually mean it. And also here's proof of like why this didn't actually ever happen, to pop the bubble, because they're all so terrified of how upsetting each other will land with like how they're being perceived by the greater audience.
Yeah.
That no
gotta let that go.
Everybody's refusing to be unlikable, or maybe they're just also naturally unlikable, that it's bad TV.
And maybe it has to do with the combo of them all. Like, I have faith that like Cy and Aaron and even Becky Minkoff, like in their own friend groups, are probably a lot more likable and funny and could bring a bigger relatable energy to a show if they were with people around them that they trusted and loved. But they don't trust or love anyone, each other on the show.
Also, that doesn't make good TV. I could give a fuck about who Becky Minkoff has trapped into friendship in her myriad
Saw
ways.
That coming.
I mean, honestly, like,
it's still off and it's a bummer, but we'll see what the explosion is. Because it feels like Jessel's part of the explosion, too.
I could care so little about Jessel. It's unbelievable. And that's not even...
She was our comic relief, at least.
She was, but now it's like...
But we were laughing at, not with.
Well, no, I think... And I think
maybe
some
she
of it,
knows.
I think some of it was a response to the cast trying to isolate her and the audience stepping up and being like, you're on the wrong side here. Same with Jenna.
Yeah.
Where last season, the cast was so sure that they had an idea of how Jenna was going to be perceived, and they were, as usual, absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
I don't... The Jessel of it all, I just think she's an ensemble player, and that's all fine and good, but that's not like... adding anything to this season, but that's all fine and good because this season is so bad that what could Jessel do? It would be unfair of us to think that she could save in a completely unsavable ship.
It would be unfair for us to think she could save it, and unfair of us to say that she's taking away from it because it's so much more mess around her that like she's not affecting it in a negative way either.
I honestly think she's kind of a nothing burger this season.
Yeah.
That's not a bad position to be in.
And she actually could have really flipped out during the whole Bryn defending that she knows everything about having kids.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Jessel really could have been like, are you really going to fucking do that right now when I am trying to convince my husband to use one of our embryos and I'm struggling because I couldn't even tell my own mother that I did IVF? And all, like, she could have gone in and that would have been like real. But she was just like, la, la, la.
Because who needs reality on Real Housewives of New York? Right. Honestly.
Crazy.
It's the worst show on television. We can't go down there. We've recorded for a minute. Listen, Abby Bonadies, tell the AGs what we've got cooking with some recent. You did a Bravo for Beginners that just dropped.
Definitely.
Like, where people can follow you on social, what you have cooking, you know, perspectives to come. Mention it all.
Mentioning it all. Find me on Instagram and Threads at Abby Bonadies. I have my Bravo for Beginners series where I'm telling you how to start. Obviously, you are all experts listening, so send it to your friends who aren't. And the To Be Determined TikTok, I'll be there for as long as it's there at Avsbon, flown away on my whiteboard. But we'll see. And I'm just excited for the year in TV and a lot of fun Wicked stuff to come, too. So if you like Wicked, you know where to find me.
I finally went to it.
And she cried.
And it was just
perfect.
It really, like, the second that it started, I was like, I really needed this.
Yep.
And I really liked it. And it really gave me exactly what I needed.
Couldn't agree more.
They did a good job.
Yeah.
I'm excited for part two.
Me too.
Listen, you and I and some other creators have joined together to fundraise for the Los Angeles Fire Department Foundation. We're at like about $19,000.
Yeah, we're at like $18,800. Something
so
insane.
Close. Yeah. We're so close to 20. So if you want to donate, go to our socials. You can a bunch of you, me, Bravo Betch, Christian Gray Snow, Bravo Docket, Bravo Christine. Bravo Ducking, Bravo Christine Bianca Villa, Talk of Shame, a bunch of us coming together to fundraise. There are some resources in the show notes for this episode of other organizations, ways to get involved, ways to volunteer. Thanks to Mutual Aid of LA and sending all of our love to everyone directly impacted.
Lots of love.
An unbelievable situation that is continuing. I don't know, just, you know, I've been sharing a bunch of GoFundMes.
Yeah, what we can do to help from afar, from the other coast. It's on all of our socials. It'll be there.
It's one of the worst things that has happened in American history. It really is. It's like, it's unbelievable. And for us on the outside to really not directly understand in any way the scale of what has taken and the amount of time that it's just for people to even process the trauma that they're experiencing and to have experience is just, it's just unbelievable.
So have grace, be kind.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're talking about New York, in which case be a twat. You know, this is a safe space.
It's called balance.
And if you feel like for whatever reason you're not expressing anger in your life, you always have a place to at least listen to it. Certainly while the Real Housewives of New York City is airing. And if you are enjoying New York or you got a take on Beverly Hills, Salt Lake City, Potomac, I am going to catch up.
Yep. Right. Slide, that.
slide into my DMs on Instagram at Dame Galley. Please, even if you've sent satchels before, include your first name in town and send me your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness, Kelly Clorne Ben-Simone, and I will unpack them on an upcoming Patreon episode. And I know because I've heard from people who are like, I'm finding value in New York, and I love that for you. That's the goal. I don't want to hate a show. I like to maybe hate watch specific characters, specific housewives, but I don't want to feel like I'm being forced to watch bad entertainment. Escapism can come in many ways, including being a part of watching people behave terribly, but I want to watch it.
Yeah. So tell us why, tell us what you're seeing in it. And we want to know
for real. Or if you hate it the way I do, you are home here.
Yeah, feel free to continue validating as well.
Please continue to validate. And like, let me know your take. Like, do you genuinely, look at me in my eyes.
I'm looking.
I'm so dead serious. If you like Brynn, contact me. Slide. I don't do voice notes because the trust was broken, unfortunately, by previous AGs. But like, send me it. Type long form satchel. Include your first name in town. Let me know. Do you like Brynn?
Is she doing it for you?
I love satchels of gold. Thoughts and feels, questions and concerns. Named in honor of Her Holiness, Kelly Clumbunsman from Skye Island. I love satchels that are like, I don't agree with something you said or something I'm watching on TV. That is what the Andy's Girls Patreon is for. That is what Satchel Spectaculars are for. Those episodes on the AG page. Patreon.com/AndyScrolls. Let me know your thoughts.
We love perspective.
I love... My nightmare is like recording an episode of AG or the AG page where it's just like someone agrees with me. That's not interesting.
Yeah, that's just yes, exactly, each other. And like,
that's Kyle's dream. That's my nightmare. Okay. We are different people, even though you and I both adore her.
We adore her.
We adore her, but she's going through it.
We agree on a lot and we disagree on a few.
We do. And that is the way beauty. That it's life should beauty. Be lived. You can have arguments without being a mess.
You don't have to take it that seriously.
Yeah, unless you're on Real Housewives of Salt Lake, in which case, keep
continue.
Up the good work.
Please continue.
Keep up the good work.
Continue taking it as seriously as
literally,
possible because it's very serious to us.
I'm pledging allegiance to the class on behalf of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. It's like literally what needs to be said. Listen, Abby Bonadies, this Woo-hoo. Was a two-part episode.
Crazy.
Because we talked for a minute. And the plan was, and I swear I am wrapping this episode, the plan was for us to talk about traitors.
Yeah.
And we were just like, we can't do that.
We just must can't do that. Address.
Yeah.
The snowflake of it all.
Mm.
But traitors is not to be ignored.
No. And I do have to say, and I swear to God I am rapping, that the first three episodes I was like, meh, meh. But then.
They hustled it.
Episode 4.
Yeah.
I laughed multiple times.
Laughed and I sweated a little bit.
Yeah. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So we might be turning a corner.
Yeah, for sure. I had faith.
Spoiler alert. Not really, but just watch for as quickly as you possibly can.
Yeah, run.
Run to watch for as quickly as you possibly can.
And pay
can.
Attention. Don't be on your phone.
Yeah, and if you don't want to be spoiled, don't go online.
Yeah.
Is where we are. Abby, great. A pleasure, a thrill.
Always.
Thank you so much for coming.
Can't wait to come back.
Would love to have you back as soon as possible to talk traitors.
100%.
We need to do it. We need a flow.
We need a flow.
We need a flow. Thanks to all of you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.